Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. My name is Daisy, and I'll be presenting on the Men's Prostate Awareness Church Training Project, also known as IMPACT. My background, I'm working on my dissertation right now, so hopefully graduating this year from the University of Maryland. My training's originally from University of California, Los Angeles. Cali girl in Maryland now, so. So in terms of today's presentation, I'm hoping to provide some background information on what the IMPACT project is, how we developed it, and then present some preliminary findings and key takeaway points of how this project came to be and how it went through multiple phases to get where we are now. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Today's presentation, I plan on covering some background very quickly on prostate cancer disparities, particularly in Prince George's County, Maryland, talk about how the IMPACT project came about, some preliminary findings, and then some implications of where we want to take the project. So in terms of prostate cancer disparities, we know that African American men have the highest mortality rate from prostate cancer than any other group of men in the United States. And they're twice more likely to die when compared to European and white men. There are two screening methods for prostate cancer. One is the prostate-specific antigen blood test, and then the other one is the digital rectal exam, so PSA and DRE for short. Due to the conflicting recommendation, particularly with the PSA blood test, informed decision-making among men of color is highly significant. So we want to, when I discuss IDM or informed decision making, we want to give them the pros and cons of the different methods, particularly the PSA, and let them decide if it's the right method for them. So the IMPACT project purpose was to develop, implement, and evaluate a spiritually based four-part men's health workshop focused on informed decision around prostate cancer screening. We worked in 18 churches in Prince George's County, and we randomized at the church level. Half of our, one of our study arm is what I will call the men's only condition. The other arm is our health partner condition. In the men's only condition, it was strictly a men's based program. So all the workshop and our lessons and our series, it was only men based. There was no women that were invited to the workshop. Whereas in the health partner condition, the men were asked to invite a female health partner in their life to come to the workshops with them. And the health partners can be a mom, a sibling, a female sibling, an aunt, a female friend that they can invite to these workshops with them. What we also did with the IMPACT project was that we trained community health lay advisors. We trained them with the background on prostate cancer, how to conduct educational workshops. And from there, we asked them to present the four-part workshop series within their churches. The churches themselves selected the two community health advisors to lead the workshops at their own church. So it was their either usually a pastor that identified who they wanted their two key person to be, and then the two would be trained by us, and then we would send them back to the community and be more of a logistical support system for them throughout the whole series. Being that we are a community-based participatory research project, we thought it was very important to make sure that all the community members, as well as anyone else involved, they were involved every step of the way, from creating the program, from brainstorming what it would look like, to implementing it, and also in evaluating it. And the reason that is very important is because it's not until this true partnership exists that we can actually get trust from our community members, as well as to increase participation. And I would definitely be talking about why this is important, especially for sustainability within communities, and particularly communities of color. Like I said, everyone from researchers at the university to community partners to our community health advisors, students, undergrads, graduate students, everyone was involved and was at the table every step of the way. As I mentioned before, it was a four-part workshop series. Most of them were on a bi-monthly basis, so every other month the workshops were held. It was based on the church's calendar and scheduling, which sometimes tend to be difficult, especially if they're coming from a larger congregation. And each church selected their two individuals. We trained and certified them. And then through our community health advisors, we were able to raise awareness, empower, and motivate the others within the churches to make an informed decision around prostate cancer screening. We also did so by making our program spiritually based and using scripture. Why did we go the spiritually based route? It's because we know that African Americans, in general, demonstrate a very high degree of religiosity, and the church plays a huge role in their daily lives. So through them, we wanted to bring the program to the community and into where we knew the individuals would be, not bringing them to the university setting. Some examples of the scriptures and applications that we used are shown here. We made a spiritual base, and it was a health connection communication program because we knew scriptures that were identified by our community partners. We applied it in multiple ways. We also had testimonials from the individuals within the churches. And all of these played a key role in presenting our information. So we started off with the training and the certification. Then every other month, each church would hold their four-part workshop. So as you guys can see here, those are the general key points that the different workshops would cover. So we'll start off with the kickoff enrollment. It was more so used as a way to develop our relationship with the community instead of just coming in and saying, here's all the health information. So we started off a little slower. We gave them a background on why the program existed, and then it wasn't until workshop 2 and 3 where a large majority of our health information on prostate cancer screening was presented. Then the last one, last workshop, we focused on, okay, well, here's all the information for those that do want to do something about it or do get screened, where can you go to get that? And that was what we predominantly used workshop 4 to focus on. And then other key assessment time points were a 6-month midpoint survey was only a page as opposed to our 6 to 8 page survey baseline follow-up. And then we recently, not too long ago, did our 12-month follow-up survey. As I mentioned earlier, there were two study arms, one being men only and the other being the health partner condition. So what we were interested in is we know that men in general particularly like to have sensitive health discussions within an all-male setting. But at the same time, we also understand that women tend to serve as the gatekeepers to health in many African-American families and settings. So we wanted to compare the two conditions to see whether one made a difference, whether the health partner condition made a difference. Our hypothesis was that the health partner condition would actually increase the informed decision making in the men and would also make a larger difference. Our results did not show that. So moving into our results and preliminary study findings, the social demographic characteristics of our project, there was about 289 men between the ages of 40 to 69 with no history of prostate cancer that took part in our baseline survey. And we had an 86% retention rate at the 12-month follow-up. So about 248 of them completed the 12 month. They averaged about 55 years. 71% were married. A little over half were employed full-time. And given the makeup of Prince George's County, a lot of them reported a household income between $70,000 and $80,000. So a few key findings. One was to assess their level of spirituality or religious involvement. We measured that with a 9-item scale. Four of them measured religious beliefs, and the other 5 measured religious behavior. So between those 2 subscales, it created what we called a religious involvement scale. And this was originally created by Holt and Roth in 2012. There's a paper on that one. But ultimately, what we found is, given that this is a church-based program and a spiritually-based program, our group, as a sample, was a very highly religious group. They're very involved in church activities. 95% were Christian, and most of them scored around a sum of 37 points out of 41, just to give everyone some background on where they stood in terms of religious beliefs and participation. Most of them had health insurance, so our concern was that when you read in the literature, you know that access to screening often comes back to health insurance and access to actual physical care. But most of our participants indicated that they had health insurance and they had a regular doctor that they saw. Some of them were on government funding. The 4 key measures that I want to touch on today, and we have quite a few other ones, but I want to cover the knowledge, the beliefs, the self-efficacy to screening, as well as barriers to screening. So just to give you guys some backgrounds, that was how we measured the 4 key items the four key measures. So prostate cancer knowledge was measured with 7 items, beliefs with 6, self-efficacy with 4, barriers with 8 items. The p-value that you see up there is based on a regression analysis. And when I say both versus men only, that lets you know in which group there was a statistically significant result. And the second bullet, sub-bullet point under the key one, it gives you an example of how we measure some of these items. When we talk about prostate cancer knowledge and awareness, what we learned was that many of our MPAT men did not know that there was an issue around prostate cancer screening. They were not aware that there was a controversy, especially recently, about the PSA exam. So they were on either end of the extreme. So either they really were into the screening and just went to the doctor, got the screening, and didn't ask anything else about it, and they thought it was routine, or they refused to get screening at all. But they didn't know what it really did, the purpose of it, and why there was a controversy around it, which was, it made it a very key point of why we had this program to begin with. And more than two-thirds of them, about 77%, were unaware that doctors themselves were unaware, were unsure whether screening for prostate cancer will actually prevent men from dying from the disease. In terms of self-efficacy or confidence towards screening, a large percentage indicated that they had confidence in getting prostate cancer screened. So a lot of them were very sure that if they wanted to, they could go get the PSA or their DRE. There wasn't any within group or across group differences. With regards to barriers to screening, 80% of our men did not experience any barriers to prostate cancer screening. So sometimes, you know, a lot of times in the literature, we understand that transportation costs, any access to health insurance, those are all typical barriers that we would see in this particular population or minority populations in general. Within our sample, we did not find that. Even when we did try to break it down to see what the top barriers are, as you can see here, it did come down in transportation costs, but the percentage was a lot lower when compared to current literature. And then in terms of actual screening behavior, more than half of our men have had the PSA or the DRE at some point in their lives. But if you see there where it's highlighted or marked in red, only half of them, that number substantially decreased by half when we asked if they've actually gotten it within the last 12 months. So we know that they have at some point gotten screened, but in terms of regular screening behavior, it wasn't as dominant in this group. And then this is just to show some background in terms of we did not find any across group differences in terms of where they were in their stages of decision making. Most of them said that they had a screening method in mind that they would get screened, but we did not see them move it towards actual behavior. So knowing all of this, where are we now and what are we trying to do with the community? So we are just getting into the analysis stages, but being that we are a community-based participatory research project, we take sustainability within a community very not lightly at all. We continue to work with them. Even though funding is over, we have developed online education on other cancer, which was something that the community told us that they wanted before even working with us. So they said, sure, you can come into a community, you can do this prostate cancer program, but afterwards, what are you gonna do for us? And it was important for us to make sure that, well, we had other materials to present. So we have developed colorectal as well as breast cancer modules that are now online that other churches can adopt. And we provide consulting on the side over the phone temporarily if they want additional help. We've also paired some of our current project churches with other churches that they know who wanted to take part in this program. So a neighboring church may have heard that the MPAT project was at their friend's church. And so they would contact us to get the materials, and we would try to help them get it started in their project. And then we have also continued to sustain some of the health education by attending and partnering with them on current health fairs that they hold themselves. And implications, this whole project and the implications and future direction of what are we getting out of this result? Well, there's a lot of information on men's health, but not nearly as much as women's health. But also in terms of minority men's health, we don't see a lot of that as well. So we hope that we're able with this project to add to that literature and to also fine-tune what it is or what it means to have effective health communication programs out there, particularly in the African-American community in the church-based setting. So when we hypothesized, we thought bringing in women would actually make a huge difference in our screening results and a lot of our outcome variables. But we ended up learning that the difference was a lot better in the men-only conditions. So what we're understanding from this is they need their own programs. What we're, like from the qualitative findings and the quantitative findings, what we're hearing is the men want their own form, their own stage, their own time. And it was funny because some of the tidbits that you would get from the health partner condition when we evaluated or had closeout sessions with them is like, I didn't want my wife there. You know, I didn't want my partner there because I wanted to joke with the men about, you know, we're talking about screening a sensitive part, you know, especially when it came to talking about the digital rectal exam. There was a lot of jokes. One of our community health advisors blew up a glove just to like indicate what the process would be like. But it was very interesting. There's a lot of great findings. But what we're learning is there has to be separate programs for them based on what we just worked on the last few years. So my time is up, but we will. But we'll be more than happy to entertain questions afterwards. Thank you.
You have such a good presentation. Yeah, keeping your time.